Thank you, Primary Chorus, for touching our hearts with your heavenly voices. We're grateful for what they have done for us today. The Savior, using every precious opportunity to teach his followers, was asked a provoking question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples were wondering of their place. The Lord probably held out his hand toward one of the little children in the group and drew the child to him, then replied, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then added, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Did not the Savior in this incident require of adults to find their childhood again, to abandon weaknesses or evil? That child faith most loved must be regained. The Savior then added, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." And perhaps still holding one close to him, he continued, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were dropped in the depth of the sea." A rather terrifying price attached to the purity of a little child. Their rights to truth and love are inalienable rights. Last October, the bountiful Utah State Primary encouraged each child to earn money to buy a Book of Mormon, to pay for the book with the money he would earn. Each placed his picture and testimony inside the front cover of the Book of Mormon. Imagine 620 such books were sent by these primary children out to the missions. A few days ago, one of those primary children, little Sarah Richards, received this letter. "Dear Sarah, thank you so much for sending us the Book of Mormon with your picture on the inside. You are a very pretty girl. I will treasure the book and your picture and testimony always. I have just finished reading all of it, and I too believe it is true. I will be reading it many more times. Thank you again, and may God bless you." The primary. How did it come about? Did not the Lord promise the saints at Kirtland, if they be patient and faithful, that all things would work together for their good? And as the gospel unfolds, they would be taught line upon line and precept upon precept. The inspiration for a children's class came to Aurelia Rogers 100 years ago. In 1878, Farmington, Utah was a cultured community with over 1,200 people, a beautiful stone chapel, and they also had a relief society, a young men's literary association, and a young ladies mutual improvement association, along with a brass band. But with all this spiritual and cultural influence, Farmington, like other communities, had its juvenile problems. Little boys out late at night, darkness and mischief, made the boys a challenge. These conditions concerned Aurelia Rogers. She pondered and prayed. Bishop John W. Hess, a Mormon battalion veteran, called a meeting of parents and urged them to look after their children. But in March of that year, 1878, Eliza R. Snow and others attended a Relief Society conference in Farmington. Aurelia Rogers recorded, "After the meeting, these sisters stopped at my home. The topic of conversation was the young people and the rough, careless ways of many of the young men and boys. I asked the question, 'What will our girls do for good husbands if this state of things continues? Could there not be an organization for little boys and have them trained to make better men?'" Eliza R. Snow seemed deeply impressed with the question and indicated she would speak to the brethren in Salt Lake. Shortly, approval was received for a new organization of children. Bishop Hess asked Aurelia Rogers if she would preside over such an organization. She was willing. Aurelia wrote, "In contemplating the possibility of an organization for boys, a fire seemed to burn within me. The query then arose in my mind, could there not be an organization for little boys wherein they could be taught everything good and how to behave? Up until that time, little girls had never been mentioned, but Aurelia felt that the class would not be complete without them. The name primary was suggested because it is the first or original. On August the 11th, 1878, Aurelia Rogers, Spencer Rogers, was set apart to preside over that first primary association by Bishop Hess. At his suggestion, Aurelia Rogers and her counselors, Loisa Haight and Helen Miller, visited all the homes to secure the names of the children and to see if their parents were willing to send them to primary. Following this careful preparation, 115 boys and 100 girls came to the Stone Chapel August the 25th for the first meeting. Citizens passing the meeting house that day could probably hear voices singing, "In our lovely Deseret, where the saints of God have met, there's a multitude of children all around. They are generous and brave. They have precious souls to save. They must listen and obey the gospel sound. That the children may live long and be beautiful and strong, tea and coffee and tobacco they despise. Drink no liquor, and they eat but a very little meat. They are seeking to be great and good and wise. They should be instructed young how to watch and guard the tongue, and their tempers train and evil passions bind. They should always be polite and treat everybody right, and in every place be affable and kind. They must not forget to pray night and morning every day for the Lord to keep them safe from every ill and to assist them to do right, that with all their mind and might they may love Him and learn to do His will." Today the church honors a faithful and distinguished pioneer woman, Aurelia Spencer Rogers, a child of adversity, testing, determination, and much love, who built her faith event by event, challenge by challenge. What of her beginnings? Orson Spencer and his six motherless children had ferried across the Missouri River and hurriedly moved into an unfinished log cabin in winter quarters. Their mother had died soon after the family left Nauvoo. The family had to settle before their father left. Brigham Young had called him to go to England to publish the Millennial Star. Orson Spencer had trained Ellen, just 14, and Aurelia, only 12, to be father and mother to the four younger children. He bought 8 cows so there would be plenty of milk to drink and enough to sell. There was also a horse to be sold if necessary to buy supplies. That winter was long, cold, and lonely. Many people at winter quarters died, Aurelia wrote in her diary. "We got through the first part of the winter pretty well. Our horse and all of our cows but one died. We had no milk or butter. Our provisions nearly gave out. We really suffered from something to eat. Sometimes we had nothing but cornmeal, which was stirred with water and baked on a griddle." And then she said, "Many a night I went to bed without supper, having to wait until I was hungry enough to eat our poor fare." Then one day, President Brigham Young visited the Spencers' one-room cabin. He found it neat and the children clean. Their father had been gone almost a year, and the saints were beginning to make preparations to start their move west. The children informed President Young that their father wrote often, suggesting what they should wear, what to do if they became ill, how to comb their hair, and how to take care of each other. But after President Brigham Young read their father's last letter, he asked the children to consider a very important matter. He said, "What would you say if your father stayed in England at least another year? We need him there." The children looked at each other and then waited for 15-year-old Ellen to speak, since she was the oldest. "If it is thought best," Ellen said quietly, "we would like it so, for we want to do what's best." All the other children agreed. They remembered their father had once written, "Though he slay us, we should trust in him, and all will be right." They had faith in their father, in his counsel, and in their Father in heaven. And in the spring of 1848, the Spencer children, with determination and grateful hearts, moved west with the saints. During the two-year absence of their father, the six children experienced hardships and many trials. They crossed the plains to Salt Lake Valley, lived in an old fort, and then moved to a one-room adobe house. Relatives and friends watched over them, but the responsibility had rested on the two eldest girls, Ellen and Aurelia. At last, Orson Spencer was welcomed home amid shouts and hugs and kisses from his heroic little family. But while crossing the plains, Aurelia had met and fallen in love with Thomas Rogers, a young teamster. They married and set up housekeeping in a log cabin in Farmington. And there in the foothills of the Wasatch, overlooking the Great Salt Lake, Aurelia Spencer Rogers spent the rest of her life. Here she gave birth to 12 children, bearing 5 of them in infancy. And as the children grew, she became increasingly concerned about the lack of a weekday wholesome activity for her children and others. This, the genesis of the primary. Out of small things, a firm foundation was laid. Today, after 100 years, this worldwide organization has not changed its purpose, which is to assist parents in teaching their children to pray and walk uprightly before the Lord. Each week, dedicated primary workers all over the world encourage parents in teaching their children to know and have faith in their Heavenly Father and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Aurelia wrote, "Why should anything be allowed to come before the most sacred duty of parents, that of looking after the spiritual welfare of the children?" She said, "This was the question which burned in my mind." Though primary's responsibility is awesome, the modern parent challenge is even greater. In addition to harmful programs on television, there are drugs and child abuse, acceptance of violent acts, and child pornography. Research indicates American children watch television 1/2 of their waking hours. By age 12, the primary age, they will watch the violent destruction of 18,000 human beings. And by age 12, they will have spent 10,720 hours with television. But only 352 hours of primary, even if they have perfect attendance. Today, we not only honor Aurelia Rogers, but all the primary leaders and teachers who during the first 100 years have encouraged us to apply her motto. She wrote, "Our children are our jewels. We have counted well the cost. May the angels ever guard them and not one be lost." Primary began by inspiration. Primary will continue by inspiration to influence the world. God bless us as parents and spiritual leaders to understand what the Master really meant when he taught, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.